Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We want to begin with an update on a story that I reported yesterday, and that is what happened over the rough Easter weekend for Temple University students. At least five Temple University students either robbed and or assaulted over the Easter weekend. So Philadelphia police, there was a news conference yesterday, Philadelphia police confirming they're still searching for more suspects wanted for those assaults. Officials, Temple University, now they're partnering with the Philadelphia Police Department, and they want to find those suspects wanted for all the chaotic events that unfolded at the campus over the weekend. So they say that large group of young kids between the ages of 11 and then older teenagers, but mostly underage, K through 12 kids is what they told us yesterday, on campus Saturday and Sunday. We're talking about hundreds of underage kids. Those are the suspects, and they've revealed and released some new photos of some of the suspects. But they say that Temple University Police Department, as well as Philadelphia PD, giving us some new details on this one. And so we have another robbery, at least two assaults, even a fake gun that was seized, and an incident, they say, of harassment that happened on Easter Sunday. So this investigation continues. It looks like they have at least eight people in custody. I think that's up one from yesterday. Yesterday we had seven arrested. So they've obviously, in the past 24 hours, arrested now an eighth individual. But we know that a Temple student was robbed. That happened on Saturday, 1200 block of Cecil B. Moore Ave. And he's injured. In a third incident, we know that a man was harassed by a group of kids. That happened nearby, 1300 block of Cecil B. Moore.
Jennifer Griffin has been there now since 2022. I feel like all we ever do is talk about the unruly, lawless behavior that happens on that campus. If you're a parent, are you sending your child to Temple University on North Broad with everything that we've discussed the last couple of years with the violence on that campus? Again, not in a great area. If you've been there, you get it. It's not the main line. I don't ever recall it being like this. And I looked this up. I looked up her resume. She's a former Delaware State Police trooper.
Mm-hmm.
She's a graduate of the FBI. Can you get a hold of your institution, lady? With all due respect, I'm just saying.
What's the teen mob that surrounded and beat the crap out of some white kid at Temple? Because we have that video. Did you guys see this?
Roll
this video.
Was this on the 1300 block of Cecil B.
Moore? I have no idea. Look at this. Look at this video.
Yeah, watch
it's
this.
It's just like it's like a group of animals attacking its prey.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly right where this is.
Sure.
Yeah. Used to be food carts there in 2005, 2006.
Just beating the snot out of a kid.
It's 30-on-1 right there.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if this is political or not. I don't know if she's got a slant to the way she decides to govern the campus, so to speak. And you guys know I love police, but I lose respect for those in law enforcement or used to be in law enforcement if they allow politics to impact their policing or if they allow politics to impact their ability to protect and serve. I don't know if that's the deal with Jennifer Griffin. I know Mark Fusetti's had a lot of comments on her on social media. I mean, she's a disaster.
We also have Temple Police Captain James Hennigan, who discussed the shenanigans, as they're called. Roll this.
Evening, and then there were seven arrests of juvenile females by Temple Police last evening, Sunday evening. Those individuals were all from one incident where they were between the ages of 11 and 15, and they assaulted a non-Temple student, a young girl who was 12 years old. So those seven were detained and taken into custody and taken to the juvenile center where they were processed. The other incidents were on Saturday, there were three assaults and one robbery. I believe earlier it was said that there was no robbery, but that one of the four assaults turned out to be a robbery because a watch was taken but later found. So there was four victims on Saturday night and then four victims again on Sunday evening of different assaults and a robbery on Sunday night as well.
Is that 12-year-old?
He goes on to say it's understandable parents of Temple University students are upset and worried about the safety of their children on campus after a weekend of violence.
So he understands my question that I just posed 75 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's a wide open campus. It's not like it's completely gated off from outsiders. There's a difference from students on campus committing acts versus those that are just drifting around like wanderous nomads in North Philadelphia. But I'd love to know what the police protection looks like on a holiday weekend. Is it a place of ghost town? All officers off? I mean, what are we doing here?
Wouldn't you love to have a police captain like that, that is more animated and giving you a little bit more of a, hey, you know what? We're taking this seriously and we're going to crack some skulls.
Yeah.
But I guess he can't crack skulls these days.
No, he would lose his badge and gun.
Yeah.
Well, and these are active investigations. I would say where the parents of these underage hundreds, up to 200 juveniles, where the parents?
I know, it was like a concert.
It's unbelievable.
And by the way, when you look at the video, you can't help but say, is there a racial aspect? Are they investigating the racial aspect of victims versus the perpetrators?
Yeah, because we're a colorblind city right now, so we can't do that. If it was Austin Metcalf and Carmelo Anthony, we could speculate till the cows come home. But now we can't do that.
Of course not.
And so they've released all this video. They've released screenshots because they're looking at everything, every building, even the SEPTA buses, as we know, have the video now. So they're getting video off of everything, and they have vowed that they will arrest all of these juveniles and charge them. I did hear one Temple student was interviewed and said, well, when I was that age, I had, you know, rec centers, and we could go to the library, and everything's closed nowadays. So they did have some of the Temple students trying to provide, I guess, some outlets for the kids, or trying to brainstorm on helping out.
Maybe it's better that the kids stay at home and just sit on YouTube all day after further review.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. You cannot look at these videos and see the suspects and see the victims and not say that there's a racial element involved in this. It's like you'd be stupid
of course
not do that.
Yep.
But we can't as a city, and the police can't, and we have to make sure.
Well, if the police department on campus and Jennifer Griffin are as prompt as they are with sending out tuition bills every month, they'll have this wrapped up in 28 days.
Yeah.
Nick, I know that's your alma mater. I don't know why anybody would send their kid there, honestly. And my neighbor's kids go there. Like, I don't know why anybody would send their kids there.
The sad part is it's a good school. It's a very good school. It's a cheap school. I mean, when I went, I think it was, now, again, this is 20 years ago. It was $16,000 a year in a city full of private schools. I mean, it's a great bang for your buck for the cost, and especially with some of the, whether it's broadcasting or criminal justice, they've got a lot of the business school, Fox Business, a lot of great programs on that campus. But, man, you are rolling the dice.
There are armed guards in these buildings, so these kids feel safe.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. Yep. It's like Beirut.
Yep. You're right, it is.
It's sad.
We got to build the wall.
So,
from Temple.
And even Philadelphia Eagles, you know, in South Jersey and Philadelphia.
The Eagles!
Not immune. A.J. Brown caused quite a stir yesterday, our Philadelphia Eagle, when he put out there that whoever stole his vehicle, his Mercedes, whoever stole it, actually in Camden near Lewis and Morton Streets, better return the vehicle. But that spread like wildfire. Now we're hearing that, in fact, that police were able to arrest a suspect to get his black Mercedes back to him. So A.J. Brown using social media.
Yeah.
A.J. and I were texting last night. I told him, I said, if they can't find the vehicle, you and I will meet up in Westchester. And we'll go to Piazza Mercedes. I'll get you hooked up. I know some people.
Why was his car parked in Camden?
I think he lives in South Jersey, and so I don't know if he was on it. I have no idea. I believe he lives in Jersey.
This is the video that he posted, if you can understand.
Come on, Philly.
Subtitles.
Come on, man. You stole my whip last night.
What?
Come on, man. I make a deal with you, bro. To whoever you are, which I'm going to find out soon. I'll make a deal with you, bro. Just bring the whip back, bro. I won't press charges, bro. Just bring the whip back, bro. And you can go on about your day. But if I find you, come on, bro. It's gonna be what it's gonna be. And I'm gonna come in the interrogation room. I might see about you, my boy. Like, I'm on that. But yeah, bring the whip back, bro. You smooth with it though. You pulled up at 3:42. You walked. You got up out of that 3:45. You fast on your feet. Real fast. I'm gonna show you how fast I am on my feet.
Fast.
Yeah. Real talk. Like this week, this finna get done today. Like, bro, so you might well pull back up, bro. Drop that off, bro. We know where you at right now. Right now. Like, pull back up, bro.
What did he say?
I have no idea. But had to be a Cowboy fan that stole that vehicle.
Oh my God.
A lot of cockroach Cowboy fans in South Jersey. They just pop up out of the woods.
So, you know, they made it. It's a Mercedes. They can track the vehicle, like he said.
Two different planets we live on, guys.
So it was stolen from Haddonfield, where I guess he lives, and then they found it in Camden.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably no way he's living in Camden.
No.
That guy makes some good coin.
They found it in Camden, but it was parked in Haddonfield, I should say.
Parked in Haddonfield. Yeah, I get you. All right, okay.
And the suspect ID'd is 25-year-old Luis Segarra. And so he is under arrest. Apparently, Luis parked the vehicle feet away from where Camden County police officers were stationed to monitor a local construction site. So they see this beautiful, shiny black Mercedes, and they go, oh, well, there it is.
Yeah.
So made it pretty easy. But I think he had it back before 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So it looked like within about, I don't know, 7-8 hours, because it was stolen, what did he say, four in the morning?
Yeah.
And by just after lunchtime yesterday, they had recovered the vehicle.
What do they do? Would they hotwire it? Were the keys left in the vehicle?
No, I'm sure they hotwire it. Do you think this person realized he stole A.J. Brown's vehicle?
No shot.
No.
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 No way.
Nope.
Yeah. And then he turned on the social media and he goes, uh-oh.
Yeah.
We just dropped this off down the block.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Yeah, maybe somebody called him and said, yeah. Yo, yeah. You know that Mercedes you were saying you stole?
AJ, I'm sorry. I thought it was Devontae Smith's.
In Delaware County, we should mention one of the big stories that's happening there, and this has been going back and forth, even tax dollars going in to try to save Crozier Health, but they did announce they're closing that entire health system, shuttering both Crozier Chester Medical Center and Taylor Hospital. This means thousands of jobs, an estimated 2,600 employees. And obviously, this last minute situation will prompt all of the individuals, as far as patients, they'll be diverted to other hospitals, nearby hospitals. So that's a huge story going on in our region. And then, of course, as we talked about the Pope yesterday, of course, all day long, many tributes and outpouring, really, after the pontiff died at the age of 88. So we did get some new details as far as Pope Francis setting the Saturday is the date officially for his funeral, allowing ordinary faithful to begin paying their final respects starting tomorrow, when his casket will be brought into St. Peter's Basilica. And they set the funeral Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, like I say, St. Peter's Square, celebrated by the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Cardinal Giovanni Battista. And so President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, they've announced they will attend Saturday's funeral, as well as Argentine President Javier Milei. He's also, Milei, he's expected as well. So more deets on Pope Francis, who died, obviously, yesterday morning, Easter Monday. So that's Kale and Company News Live, sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Yes, the secret to spoiling all the moms in your life this spring. Mother's Day coming up in May. So now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com. Gift cards are always available, josephanthony.com. Perhaps our Philadelphia Phillies could use a spa day, because we were beat 5-4 by the Mets.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Nola might not win a game all year.
Oh, geez.
0-5. And this guy.
By the way, Juan Soto hit a bomb
last night. You knew he's going to get hot eventually.
It looked like we were going to come back in the ninth inning. But
then... I mean, the bet... The Mets are one of the best teams in baseball right now.
I know.
It's like the Padres, Dodgers, Mets that are the best teams right now.
Yeah, we mentioned this either yesterday or Thursday of last week. Like, the fact that they're doing as good as they are and their $750 million player hasn't gotten off to a great start.
I know.
Kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. Aaron Nola can get into talk radio as soon as he washes out. He'll be doing middays in about 9 weeks.
Well, maybe he'll get hot like the forecast. The high of 79 degrees today.
Today, wow.
Today,
wow,
gorgeous cool. Week ahead as we're in the sunny, turning sunny and upper 70s pretty much all week. But today, kissing 80, as we say. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, we'll get to a Tuesday Big Take that'll feature Joe Rogan, Pete Hegseth, and many more. It's Kale and Company live on a Tuesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders. You know, they don't make furniture like they used to. And if you're tired of the cheap, mass-produced junk, perhaps from China, let me tell you about Bucks County Estate Traders, their massive Hatfield showroom, 16,000-plus pieces of high-end furniture with brands like Stickley, Baker, Henrodon, and others. The kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time, and you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, classic, modern, rustic, or traditional, you'll find stunning pieces that fit today's homes. Whether you're furnishing your living room or your dining room, your home office, or even a man cave, or perhaps the entire house, like I'll be doing later this summer with Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Because every piece has a QR code which displays the details instantly. And their expert staff is the best in the business. No pushy salespeople, straight shooters who know their stuff. Check out their website. You can call ahead, and they'll have the pieces that you want ready to show you that day. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom in Hatfield. Tell them Nick sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Staples, the Big Take, monsters to the masses. Who is the ultimate monster to the masses? It's an interesting question to pose, and the answers that you can get are sure to vary. But when you frame it this way, in American politics in 2025, who is the bigger threat to the people? Is it Donald Trump or is it the media? I believe 2024's election showed us that it's the latter. And to zero in on that concept, we examined a few things today and why I believe MS-13 and the defense from the media are monsters to the masses, and why Donald Trump and common sense are painted as the boogeyman. And I need to dig into Joe Rogan a little bit, which is where we got monsters to the masses from. Let me start with Mr. Spotify himself and the altar that so many worship at. This was Joe on his latest episode talking about the Trump administration and Kilmer Abrego Garcia and his deportation. Listen and watch this.
About due process. No, that. Well, here's the problem with that. The problem with things that are going in a radical direction, and then there's an overcorrection. So the overcorrection is lack of due process. The overcorrection is like, round them all up, ship them to jail. Like, that's like some things that you say when you're not thinking things through. Like, what do you do about all the criminals? Take them all, send them to El Salvador.
Yeah.
What about due process? No, that. Well, here's the problem with that. What if you are an enemy of, let's not say any current president, let's pretend we got a new president, totally new guy in 2028, and this is a common practice now of just rounding up gang members with no due process and shipping them to El Salvador. You're a gang member. No, I'm not. Prove it. What? I gotta go to court. No, yeah. No due process.
That's right? Dangerous, Joe.
That's dangerous. We gotta be careful that we don't become monsters.
There's nothing monstrous about following through on arguably the number one issue in the 2024 election. There's also nothing monstrous about having two judges, not one, but two, agree that he is an MS-13 gang member who should have been gone in 2022 when he was pulled over in Tennessee by state troopers, only to remain because of the Biden DOJ. He is then shipped out of here, with the only mistake being apparently at the time that he couldn't go to El Salvador. He also has no legal right to be here. Trump has come up aces with the border, illegal immigration, and deportation. If this was baseball, his batting average on immigration would be 900. Yet the Democrats, the media, and now even Joe Rogan are pointing out, arguably, at best case, a weak argument to be made about the destination of an alleged wife beater. But if you think Rogan is trying to be next level when it's really checkers and not chess, get a load of this. Here's MSNBC race baiter Simone Sanders saying that black people will be next. Listen and watch.
Being here, there is, I've been talking about this all week, but Janae Nelson of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, she penned an op-ed in The Nation this week. And her op-ed talked about that we think that democracies are, the way they die is dramatically through these wars and blood is shed, and it's cinematic in a sense. But really, the realistic way in which democracies die is it is dismantled brick by brick, piece by piece. And she says that what we are seeing now with the lawlessness from this administration are really the canaries in the coal mine gasping for air. I'm paraphrasing here. But to me, that is why Kilmer Abrego Garcia's specific case, the case of the gentleman who's a makeup artist out of California who was also sent to that prison, that is why the 75% of the folks who have been sent, the men who have been sent there that don't have criminal records, that is why this is so important. Because if they could do it to them, if they could snatch students off the street without any pushback or recourse, they will do it to any of us. To be very clear, it's going to be the people of color and vulnerable communities that are next in line.
Yep. Trump's just going to scoop everybody up that isn't a straight white cis male and send them to an El Salvadorian prison. Disappeared, the new Democrat talking point. And how about that, bringing up lawlessness? That's quite the pivot, Simone, is it not? The same party that believes in no cash bail, lawlessness. The same party that believes in letting career criminals back out on the street after 47 priors. No wonder MSNBC has lost 44% of its audience. But let's bring in more of a measured perspective. Here's Fox News legal analyst Andy McCarthy, who shines the spotlight and begins to question another person, that being a prosecutor, something he knows well, and that's Pam Bondi. Listen and watch this.
Fox News contributor Andy McCarthy joins me now as a former assistant U.S. attorney, and want to get to this because let me play one more piece from Shannon's interview with Van Hollen yesterday morning. Watch here.
I want to be very clear. I'm not vouching for the man. I'm vouching for the man's rights, his constitutional rights to due process. And the proper place to litigate that is in the courts. If you deprive one man of his constitutional rights, you threaten the constitutional rights of everybody. I would hope that all of us would understand that principle.
I think we are on our fourth week of talking about this story as it continues. Where do you think it stands today after Van Hollen's trip?
Well, I think the most interesting development, Dan, in the last few days is the fact that Abrego Garcia is not in custody in El Salvador, as we believed he was, and as he certainly was when he was sent over there. There's no question that there was an order. He was not supposed to be sent. As Senator Kennedy said, that was a screw up. In 20 years at the Justice Department, I had plenty of screw ups. But the thing is, when the government screws up, it's supposed to fix it. And what these guys are basically saying is, yeah, we screwed up. So what? Try to do something about it. The Supreme Court has basically told them to facilitate his return. But when you look at it closely, I think what they're actually saying is facilitate his release. If he's already been released by the government in El Salvador.
I believe when you stack all the bullet points from Pam Bondi and the Trump administration deporting Garcia, they far outweigh the bullet points for bringing him back or having never have deported him in the first place. But McCarthy does make a fair point about Pam Bondi. Is she in over her head? Is she merely adhering to what her boss, Donald Trump, says that she needs to do? I'd actually like to hear Jonathan Turley's thoughts on this as well. But speaking of the media and the monsters that they try to be, we get to Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, who is once again at the center of now a second Signal chat story, the Signal app pertaining to sensitive information. Following multiple leakers being fired by the Pentagon a week or so ago, reports have now surfaced that Hegseth might be squawking too much to people that shouldn't be privy to government information. Here was CNN's Pamela Brown with Florida Republican Representative Carlos Jimenez. Listen and watch this.
Talk to you about some news here in Washington. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth reportedly used a second Signal group chat to discuss sensitive military plans with his members, with members of his family, his lawyer. You called the first leaked Signal chat a, quote, huge mistake. Do you have confidence in Secretary Hegseth's judgment?
Well, the question is this chat prior to the one that was leaked out, or did he continue to use the Signal chat, you know, group after that happened? And so I'm not sure the timing of it was. If it was something that he did prior to, okay, he should have learned his lesson now with what happened with the Mike Waltz incident. But if he did it afterwards, yeah, I would have concerns because, you know, it's already, you've already been burned by it once. I don't think you need to get burned by it twice. I think you should learn from your mistakes.
And I understand your point about the timing, but the principles of the issue don't change in terms of discussing sensitive military details on Signal, particularly with people like his wife, who, as far as I know, doesn't have a security clearance. Right. I'm not sure, but I don't believe she does. You know, does that concern you?
If in fact he did discuss what's called top secret or things that only need to be discussed inside a skiff with his wife, if she doesn't have that kind of security briefing, yes, it would concern me, and it should be a lesson to everybody in the administration and everybody actually in the federal government. A lot of the federal agencies use Signal because it's supposed to be an encrypted, very secure application. The fact that these things are being leaked now. Call into question how secure Signal really is.
According to Politico, yesterday, Rep. Don Bacon, Republican from Nebraska, became the first House Republican to suggest that Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is no longer fit to keep his job. Quote, I had concerns from the get-go because Pete Hegseth didn't have a lot of experience, Bacon told Politico, following the bombshell revelations over the weekend that Hegseth had shared national security details in a second Signal group chat, this time one that included his wife. Bacon, a retired Air Force general himself, added, quote, I like him on Fox, but does he have the experience to lead one of the largest organizations in the world? That's a concern. If it's true that he had another Signal chat with his family about the missions against the Houthis, it's totally unacceptable. Quote, I'm not in the White House, and I'm not going to tell the White House how to manage this, but I find it unacceptable, and I wouldn't tolerate it if I was in charge, end quote. Well, let's hear from the secretary himself, Pete Hegseth, yesterday at the Easter egg roll at the White House. Listen and watch.
What do you want to say, sir, about the Signal chat controversy?
You know, what a big surprise that a bunch of, a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. Won't give back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. Pulitzers for a bunch of lies and on hoaxes time and time and time again. And as they peddle those lies, no one ever calls them on it. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me, because we're changing the Defense Department, putting the Pentagon back in the hands of warfighters, and anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter.
So, four takeaways on this story. Number one, is the Signal app the best we can really do with the federal government? Do we really need to have this stupid Signal app conversation again? Secondly, if Pete is chirping to his wife, maybe he should dial that back. I never tell my wife what's coming up on the cut sheet. It's top secret. But truthfully, one of two things are at play here. The entry level is that the guy has a big role, it's too much for him, he's in over his head, and he flaps his gums. Former TV guy, right? Probably likes to talk. The next level is that the warmongers within the party want Pete out. Because Pete, even though he's a combat veteran, is anti-war, with an anti-war administration. That's bad for the military-industrial complex. That's why they don't like Trump. Here should be a homework exercise for everybody on the Hegseth Signal app story. Research every Republican who has voted against confirming Pete Hegseth or who has ever publicly criticized him, and then look at where they are when it pertains to war, the military-industrial complex, and aid to nations like Ukraine. You'll likely find your answer to that homework question right then and there. But if Hegseth is rambling and revealing, I have no problem with him being relieved of his duties. If he is, this is far worse than an MS-13 member being sent to the wrong country upon deportation. But you know me, as I prove in this big take, doesn't matter if you're Joe Rogan, doesn't matter if you're a host on MSNBC, doesn't matter if you're a leaker to the media that was fired from the Pentagon, or if you're Pete Hegseth or Pam Bondi, question everything and be willing to call out anyone. But let's make no mistake about this. The media, the true monster to the masses, not this administration. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $250 off of your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends June 14th. Plus, save 7 more with the Easy Rewards program only at Staples. 855-839-1210. Let it rip on YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. And, of course, your messages on X at 1210WPHT. We'll come back, get everybody's thoughts on the stories from yesterday in the Big Take, as well as the Fauci fortunes revealed, and Kristi Noem lost $3,000. We got to talk about this story, and I'm going to defend Kristi when we come back. It's Kale & Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
America's a melting pot, right?
Sure.
Unless you listen to MSNBC, and then, of course, Trump's going to get rid of everybody that's not a straight white cis male. But that's neither here nor there. So Joe Rogan criticizing the Trump administration didn't sit well with me. Not that I sit here trying to adamantly defend everything that the administration does, but you're going to sit there, Joe Rogan, and say that this is, be careful what you wish for, because when a different president, stop, Joe Rogan. Like, I can't believe Joe Rogan, of all people, that goes down every rabbit hole in America, every YouTube conspiracy known to man is in there, and now he's in the fear porn business. So there's that, and then there's the Second Signal app. Dawn Stensland, your thoughts? Rogan, Hegseth, any direction you want to take it from what we just discussed?
I would say two things can be true at the same time. So Joe Rogan and those who say they believe in due process, Joe's not wrong in saying that we should always have respect for due process. So I believe in that. I think that what's going on here, by the way, I know that you care about this, but Abrego Garcia, he was moved into a better penitentiary facility. So he's not in the so-called CECOT prison. He has his own bed and he has his own nice in El Salvador.
Ah, did he request the vegan option for dinner? Jesus.
So I guess so that this is a new State Department filing that they have acknowledged that he is in good condition, in a excellent state of health. And I liked the angle of the split on the take where, you know, the officials and the experts and the pundits are saying, you know, the administration, you could take this that they should say, hey, we thought that we had XYZ on this guy. Tell El Salvador, this is their citizen. So if the administration hands over whatever information they have to his home country, then it's up to the home country to deal with it. But at the same time, I don't mind that, you know, people look at due process of anybody. I just, I'm going to go with Patty Morin, the mother of Rachel Morin, murder victim, who asks the question, why all this attention and all this money and all of our tax dollars focused on one guy who came to the country 14 years ago as a 16-year-old illegally? And why not? There was just another guy. I tweeted it out early this morning. There was some other illegal guy accused and arrested of murdering a woman and burying her. We have another one of these. And so why not focus on that? Mm-hmm. And so the media won't focus on those.
Nope.
They won't Van Hollen, all of that. They won't focus on the Rachel Morins, the grieving parents, all of that. They're so worried about the state of mind and how Abrego is the so-called Maryland father is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what seems obnoxious. But I think I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good with it if everybody wants to look at due process.
Okay.
But just be fair with it. In other words, J6, the same media and lawmakers who are squawking about this due process of an illegal person who's a non-citizen, nobody cared about the violations of due process of many J6ers who remained in jail for years.
I thought for sure I would go away on Wednesday and we would not be talking about this stupid story anymore. About the man and the father. What about the man and the father? And all these hypocritical, bloviating Democrats going down there. Due process. I will give the rat's ass about due process. I don't care about it. I don't care about this guy's rights. I don't care about any of it. I don't want him here. I don't want anybody here. In fact, I want to deport everybody, including you two.
I think that's the sentiment of the country. I think that's why this is a losing issue for Democrats.
Yes. Right. They're going to die on this hill.
Yeah.
Perfect. You just nailed it right there. Think about 25 and 26. Think about primaries and campaign ads. The Democrats are going to run an ad with Kilbrego Garcia. Kilbrego, ridiculous.
Kilmar.
Yeah, I'm so sick of hearing that guy's name. Whatever happened to just having two names? Why does everybody got to have a middle name announced these days? Or the fact that, you know, the Trump administration is delivering and the Republicans are delivering on arguably the number one issue of the last election. Mm-hmm. Take a 30-second montage of anything from the media, anything from a politician, anybody from an elected office or trying to run, and or like in your case, Dawn, Patty Morin. And which ad do you think will hit harder and will land with the American people? The ones that are talking about America first and one on the American first agenda, or the ones that were running on a campaign of every fringe community under the sun and then demonizing half of America for being Trump supporters or being a straight white man? They haven't learned their lesson. They want to die on all these stupid hills. They're all these 80-20, 90-10 issues, by the way.
To your point, you know, Patty Morin, take the quote that she said on Sunday. She said it on my show and on our air last week. She said it at the White House. Why would a lawmaker, and she's referring, I'm assuming, to Van Hollen and others, but why would a lawmaker who writes the laws try to help somebody, to aid and abet somebody who has broken the laws?
Yeah.
And why focus so much on this? And so take any one of her tearful quotes. It's just, I think the American people are sick and tired of this issue and sick and tired of paying for lawmakers who are able to travel on our dime.
Yeah. By the way, this news story that we have been obsessing over, and I don't mean we, I mean the media has been obsessing over for 6 or 7 days. You go out there in the public and you talk to people who are just living their lives.
Nobody knows it exists.
Nobody knows or cares it even exists.
Yeah.
It is a stupid beltway story that everybody has Democrats and Republicans arguing about each other. The Republicans are like, keep them out. The Democrats are like, bring them back in. And the American people are like, what's the cost of groceries these
eggs
days?
Eggs and milk.
How is my 401k so doing? By the way, I heard Van Hollen say, and this was on the show before us, the Fox News Rundown, he said that he's not arguing for the man's character. He's arguing for the man's rights.
Yes, it's all about due process now.
If you are talking like that, you're on the wrong side of an issue.
That's correct.
You're on the wrong side of an issue.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
The guy has no legal right to be here. Why am I talking about his due process rights?
And these a-hole Democrats, I have five of them, are in El Salvador now. One of them says that she ain't leaving until he's coming back.
Good.
Stay there. All of them can stay there.
But if I'm Donald J. Trump, overall, looking at all of this, whether it's DOJ, who apparently at some point acknowledged that there was a paperwork snafu or whatever in the Abrego Garcia thing, or whether it's Pete Hegseth, I'm just in general, I'm saying, people, dot your I's, cross your T's. Yo, Pete, if you're including whoever, your family members, stop it. Watch what you're doing. And DOJ, the same. So I think they're, you know, sloppy. It's a little sloppy.
All right. We'll get to Hegseth. I wanted to just jump in on that Hegseth. I have a couple of thoughts, and we'll do that to wrap up that conversation when we kick off hour two. Dawn has some news. And then Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem had her purse, including $3,000 in cash. Yeah. Stolen from a D.C. restaurant.
Dope.
We might have to have a conversation about
Kristi.
Hot messes, purses, cash. Security details.
Dummy.
Yeah, I left my purse here. Oh, sorry.
Uh-oh. Ugh. Don't worry, Christy. I'm coming to your rescue. Hang tight. We got to sit there and pay the bills. Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Hour 2 is on the way. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.